What I want to talk about today is from a national point of view, so I won't be talking too much about South Australia, but the role of the National Water Commission is about national issues, the National Water Initiative, which is the reform agenda for water reform right across Australia. But the focus of what I'll be saying is about how should we be dealing, or how could we be dealing, with over-allocation. So this is a bit of a roadmap, if you like, about what I will be saying. The NWI, the National Water Initiative, says a few things, a few pretty firm, clear things about over-allocation. The National Water Commission, as stewards and custodians and urges to make the National Water Initiative happen, the National Water Commission has been saying a few things about it ourselves. I want to tackle the question of are we over-allocated, but then the main bit of what I'm talking about today is a whole series of options for handling over-allocation, and I end with nine principles for how best to handle over-allocation. I want to start, it sounds a bit dull, but it's important, I suspect, for the rest of the day with a few definitions, because not everyone is familiar with how water allocation systems generically work across Australia. And the way to think about it is I think, like this. There are a large number of theoretical entitlements to take water for irrigation across Australia, but only in a very wet year or a very wet series of years would these so-called entitlements receive actual allocations to 100% of the entitlements. So the total volume of issued entitlements may well exceed the carrying capacity of the water system, or what we call sustainable levels of extraction. But it's just as important to think about allocations, that is, the level of actual water use, the level of water that is actually issued to those entitlement holders, and then make the comparisons with sustainable levels of extraction. So a bit laborious, but I think it's important to understand the rest of today. So what does the National Water Initiative say? The National Water Initiative is a commitment by all the governments of Australia, state and federal, to do a whole lot of reforms and changes and improvements to water management, and it says these things about over-allocation. All currently over-allocated and overused water systems do need to be returned to sustainable levels of extraction. And if you think about it, the top line of that slide is really the bottom line of what we're here for. And it's at the very core of the problem that we're facing in the Murray-Darling Basin and elsewhere. Over-allocation is more than just a Murray-Darling Basin problem. There have been commitments going back years to in COAG to address this over-allocation question. And the third bullet there, there is a commitment signed off by premiers to have substantial progress towards dealing with the remaining over-allocation by 2010. And then the NWI talks about how to go about it, and in particular it has a special formula recently modified to assign risks, and it says there are planning processes which can differ in detail between different states, but water planning will be the vehicle by which we do this. And water planning has a special meaning under the National Water Initiative, where all the players sit around a table. The data, the evidence, the science, the hydrology, the ecology, the social issues are on the table, and all the players participate around that table to take decisions about how we allocate water between the environment and between production, and within production to different water uses. So the NWI says a lot about water over-allocation. This is a picture that sometimes helps clarify how the NWI, the National Water Initiative, works. There are three ways of modifying behaviour, modifying water management in Australia, and they are water markets, water regulation and water planning. And I've talked about the special NWI meaning of water planning, but for this purpose, water planning is absolutely central. Water allocation is trying to settle this simple picture of the choice that has to be made between consumptive uses and environmental uses, and it's sometimes simplistically oversimplified to say it's just a choice where there's a hard line between consumption and environmental use, but that's not at all so. There are some social choices that are necessary to be made, which leads us to a question that is often put: well, can't we take the politics out of water? And that's, we'd all say, highly desirable, but it doesn't bear very close scrutiny, because if you work your way down this picture, there are social choices that have to be made. Social choices are essentially political choices, and although science and data and knowledge is absolutely essential, science cannot determine these questions. And I've given some examples there in those indented bullet points about the social choices that do have to be made in overallocation. Which environmental assets do need to be nurtured? And when you've chosen them, how big an asset? How often do we have a nesting or hatching event? And so on. So in the box at the bottom, if you can read it, I'm certainly saying, as a rational person, that these decisions do need to be science-informed, but they could never be and shouldn't be science-determined. There do need to be choices, judgments and trade-offs that are made, and that requires judgments, it requires good planning processes, and in the end it requires decision-makers to step up to the plate. The National Water Commission has been focusing on overallocation for quite some time, in fact longer than it's been such a public issue as it is now. We, in our so-called biennial assessment, we are required to do regular assessments. We do occasional assessments for the task, but we do two yearly assessments, biennial assessments, and in our most recent one last year, we identified this as the first, most difficult, most challenging and central issue for water reform in Australia. We also said that to solve it, we need to improve the quality of those water planning processes that I was talking about, and we also said that there's a lot to be done, a lot to be improved in environmental water management. So when we solved overallocation, there's almost a new agenda that will flow beyond that about improving the way we use environmental water, improving the way we empower environmental water managers, and improving public confidence that the water that is dedicated to the environment, and which I stress should be dedicated to the environment, is being well used. So there are a whole lot of issues. Again, you can read about them in more detail in the biennial assessment, and I apologise for rushing a bit, but there are a lot of speakers today. But here are some of them. There is, even now, even though it's such a central question, no nationally adopted definition of overallocation. But it's more than there is no definition. There is no shared approach for tackling the question of sustainable levels of extraction, the other side of the coin of overallocation, and how we should go about it. So I think policymakers, program designers, and governments will need to tackle that number two very hard. There is a very poor understanding of the services delivered by the environment, and therefore some scepticism on the part of some players in the community about whether that environmental water is being well used. And I've already talked about water planning processes. They are very difficult, they are time consuming, and on top of all this, the bottom of that slide, if we think it's hard now, it's getting even harder year by year as climate change intensifies it. How does it work? Well, it's an adaptive management cycle, and if you just work your way around this clockwise, the way good environmental water management works is you identify quite specifically which environmental assets and which ecosystems we do want to maintain, and I talked before about how big, how green, how often as well, but let's just keep it simple and identify the assets. Then you determine which watering regime will sustain those assets. You make them, bottom of the slide, transparent, very important that it be public, and then at 9 o'clock you monitor the outcomes and adaptively manage. So conceptually I think it's a very sound process, and it is happening. This isn't just a theoretical best wish, it is happening. Well, are we overallocated? Well, my rather weak answer is the top line. Probably. I would say almost certainly, but it's very hard to say so analytically. And I think one of one of the areas we need to work in is to build public confidence so we can say confidently, analytically, based on data, based on hydrology, and ecology, that we are overallocated. The good news is that all states have now substantially introduced water planning regimes, processes that substantially conform with NWI requirements. But the actual delivery of completed water plans has lagged. Now, the CSIRO has been doing some wonderful work in the Murray-Darling Basin about determining water availability, and I think that that will be the foundation for a lot that follows, because it's groundbreaking methodology that they've used and highly credible, and that information, I think, will be the basis for a lot that we now pursue. I should say that some states, and the best examples are New South Wales and Queensland, argue this, that where there has been a transparent NWI consistent planning process, and that process has resulted in the issuing of entitlements, there is by definition no over-allocation. And you might just reflect on that, that there is some logic and merit to it, because the environmental trade-off has been made transparent and has been found to be acceptable. So New South Wales and Queensland see these issues differently from, I think, where mainstream opinion is. You don't need to read all this. This is no less than 13 options for handling over-allocation. I'm now going to walk through each of them, but I've got them there for the record, as it were, to show that, and this is one of my key messages, there is more than one way to tackle over-allocation. In fact, we've identified 14, and it's more than as is sometimes presented as simply buying back. I would draw your attention to the little caveat at the bottom. None of these 14 options are necessarily recommended by the National Water Commission, but any of them in principle can help us out of our current difficulty. Number one, we can allocate less per entitlement holder. That's a pretty logical thing to do. And you can see the bar chart there moving. It frees up a bit more for the environment. Degree of difficulty, the little man in the corner there, not difficult at all. Degree of difficulty, 1 out of 10. At the top right-hand corner, how compliant is this with the NWI? Well, very compliant. In fact, it's envisaged from the outset in the National Water Initiative. So one straightforward way of going about it is simply to continue to allocate less per entitlement holder. The second one is that we can take the water plans as they expire, let them run their life, and then reset. Again, this is very NWI compliant and would yield more for the environment, but it will take years to complete. But it's a very feasible process, and indeed we are following it. Third, we can make the investments that have been well publicised recently to improve irrigation system efficiency and direct those savings to the environment. Again, that's very NWI compliant, not too difficult, degree of difficulty 4. And there is another way of doing it, which is to share those savings between irrigators and urban areas and the environment. Again, even less difficult, but NWI compliance quite high. Four. We can invest to improve the efficiency of environmental waterings. It's sometimes said, I think quite wrongly, that the environment shouldn't have the same pressure on it to be efficient and effective as consumptive uses of water. Quite wrong, in my view. I think that there are big opportunities to invest in works and science to improve the effectiveness of environmental waterings, and that's another way of making those savings for consumptive purposes without an impact on the environment. We can extract more environmental benefits from consumptive water, and I've given an example there, better use of return flows from irrigation to the environment, very NWI compliant and not too difficult. And again, I guess as I'm here at number 5 out of 14, I'm trying to develop the idea that there are a suite of things that we can do as a nation. We can buy back entitlements on the market, and we can reinvest them for the environment, very compliant, or we can share them between the environment and consumption. And again, that wouldn't be too difficult, degree of difficulty 3, and very NWI compliant. We can compulsorily acquire certain entitlements. Much more difficult, 9 out of 10, and not terribly NWI compliant. It's not non-compliant, but it's certainly less compliant than most of the other options that we've talked about. For example, in valleys that are shown to be absolutely grossly over-allocated, or where there are stranded irrigators at the end of a long channel that other growers have moved from, that would be an option, but very difficult and not terribly NWI compliant. Even worse, or even more difficult, would be to unilaterally retire less viable irrigation districts. Now, this is proposed by some people, but its degree of compliance with the NWI is low. But there is a case for it in high salinity areas or particularly low efficiency irrigation areas, but it's not terribly consistent with what most governments have been trying to do. Similarly, the other side of that coin, rather than abandoning certain, certain irrigation areas, you can abandon or run down certain environmental assets, and it's there for the sake of rigour because it's just the reverse of the coin that I was talking about. Some tough minds talk about avoiding environmental museum pieces. If the climate really has changed as radically and for once and for all as it has, then there are some hard questions about do we sustain those environmental assets that we identified in the last decade for future decades. Degree of difficulty 8. You can compulsorily acquire a percentage of entitlements across the board, and Mike Young, my friend and colleagues shortly to speak, has suggested this earlier this year, I think, or was it last year? But a compulsory acquisition is very difficult to do, and although it's not outlawed by the NWI, would be less NWI compliant. We can unilaterally reduce target levels of reliability, and this is probably a little arcane for some people, but different levels of security, different levels of entitlement come with certain levels of security, and there could be a unilateral, but there's a lot of sovereign risk in it, reduction to those levels of security. We could simply suspend water plans and arbitrarily revise entitlements, and I've said that I consider this to be NWI non-compliant. Suspending water plans has happened, but so far there hasn't been an arbitrary revision of entitlements. Very high sovereign risk, and we would need to think very carefully about those sorts of changes, and very difficult politically and socially. We can regulate water use. That's another way, a sort of quite left-field way of going about this. And a common suggestion, though it's not mine, is to impose a ban on rice or cotton unless a target level of water efficiency is reached. Could be done under the NWI. Would be difficult, but there it is. It's an available option. And finally, we could lower our environmental aspirations. And perhaps we are. And perhaps some of us feel pretty bad about that. But that's certainly there as well. And it's contemplated also by the NWI. But it's very difficult and has some enormous costs to the environment and I think to community self-concept. So that was a bit rapid fire, but my message again is, gee, there are a lot of ways of going about this, and the question in your mind might be, so which is best? My answer is almost any of those options could play a part. Some are radical, and in particular, they have a radical impact on property rights. And in my view, if we're going to be radical, there's nothing wrong with being radical, but we do need the necessary case to be made. We do need, for example, that data and information that the CSIRO has been throwing up about where the water is in the Murray-Darling Basin. And we will need in the future some complementary studies about the ecological impacts of water shortages on our environmental assets. And finally, I just wanted to leave with you what I think, what the National Water Commission thinks, would be a set of principles that should guide us in handling over-allocation. In a way, these principles help you sort among the 14 different options that we've had, and I hope build confidence in the community, particularly the irrigation and environmental communities, though they're not mutually exclusive, about how this is being handled. The first one is, the National Water Initiative itself was always centrally about water security, secure water for irrigation and secure water for the environment, and we're not there yet. So that should be an overarching, overriding objective. Secondly, a little bit more personal, I think sovereign risk is something that we should be seeking to avoid. Again, that's been a subtext of the NWI from the beginning. When governments arbitrarily change the rules, sovereign risk, that's a serious cost confidence, to investment, and to long-term planning. So we need to minimise that, and some of the other ones that I come to in a moment are complements to that. Similarly, we need to minimise administrative discretion or political discretion. We should maximise the use of markets, because markets have that delightful automaticity about them, so that decisions are made and resources are allocated in an automatic and smooth way. We need to be maximising science and knowledge and information so that people can be confident about the quality of the decisions. And there are big investments that still have to be made, notwithstanding my applause for what the CSIRO has been doing with our National Water Commission money, I parenthetically add, to produce that information. We need to be trying to maximise water use efficiency, not only production efficiency, but also consumptive efficiency. We need to maximise local planning participation, periods of notice. And finally, we think it's really important that if there is to be adjustment, then the adjustment assistance rules need to be in place in advance. In other words, people potentially affected by change need to know what the program will be, rather than the situation that exists at the moment, which is that there is a one-sentence promise in the National Water Initiative which says that if there is to be adjustment, states should come and talk to the feds and we'll see what we can do. So we think that there would be a confidence-building sense if the adjustment assistance were in place and out there and transparent even now. So that's all I wanted to say, but I wish you well for the rest of the seminar. Thank you.